Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, there's such a beautiful, wonderful presence of God in this place tonight. I'm excited for the word. Amen. I'm excited to get into what God has for us tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, that's one thing about being a smaller church in the moment is that when you praise, if you don't praise, there's less people to praise, so you can't just count on someone else's praise to cover you. So we all got to praise, amen, because if we don't all do it, then we want to get into what God has for us. Praise the Lord. You know, I love what Pastor Ruby Ramos, you might not know her, and that's okay. She's a sweet, dear, sweet woman of God. But I love what she said. She's like, church is where we practice, hallelujah. Church is where we practice to go out in the world and live the word of God, amen. And so if we can't do it in church, we won't do it out there. And when we need to learn how to do it in here, so we'll do it out there, amen. And that's why we step out. That's why we put these things on. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's doing wonderful things here, and I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for what he's doing, who he is. I'm thankful who you are. I'm thankful that you came out tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I feel a little pie-eyed up here tonight, honey. I don't know. Praise the Lord. God is good. You know, when the Spirit of God comes on you, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I'm just so thankful for that opportunity to be able to experience that, you know. And that's what he has for all of us. We need to all get pie-eyed. Praise the Lord. So I don't know what pie-eyed is, Pastor Jeff. Well, don't you worry about it. Just keep smiling. Praise the Lord. Just glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'll attempt to preach this if I can. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, tonight's message is called, What Are You Waiting For? What are you waiting for? Praise the Lord. And we're the title is just catchy. I think that's why it came to me like that. But it's not necessarily like what you think it is. But we're going to talk about waiting on God tonight. Amen? Amen. You know, many people wait for many things, but people don't always wait in the right way. You know what I mean? People are waiting for things. They're waiting for things to happen. You know, and they think just because they wait for it, in a sense that they're being patient, but waiting and patience don't necessarily equate with each other. You know, waiting patiently is very important. That's what God has us to do. That's what God would have us to do. But we understand that godly waiting is really, it's an action of faith. Amen. It's an action of faith in that waiting on God is something that you, when we say wait on God, you know, a lot of people might have the reaction of, oh, I don't want to wait for this. I don't want to wait on God. I want to take, but see, waiting on God really is an action of faith. It's stepping out in faith and saying, you know what? I know that God is going to come through for me here. I know that God is going to be good to his word. And so I'm going to the other side. And so I wait expectantly is really what it is. Amen. And we know the word has a lot to say about expectation. Praise the Lord. It's important that we expect all the time from God. And that's really what waiting is. It's expecting God to be true to his word. But expectation in a sense that you believe it's going to happen. Not just like, oh, I'm expecting that he'll do it, but maybe he won't. No, it's expecting God. Is everything he said is going to come to pass? Amen? And you know, I needed this message. Praise the Lord. You know, there's lots of times in ministry, especially where God will show you and reveal to you things that are coming in the future, and you want to make them happen now. You know, of course, we got to do our part, and we always should be doing our part. But if we're not careful when we're waiting on God, we can start trying to make things happen. And when we do that, when we make things happen, we can quickly get out of the realm of God's order. Amen. And if we're making things happen, we're not necessarily getting the blessing of the Lord. Even though God has ordained something as good, even though he said, this is what I have, you can get out too soon and make things happen and cause a whole heap of trouble. Amen. And that's not the desire of the Lord. The desire of the Lord is that we wait for him to bring it to pass. You know, I love the account in scripture where it says that I planted, Apollos watered. Paul said this. I planted, Apollos watered, but the Lord gave the increase. Amen. And so we have to think about that. All too often, we're like the farmer that went out into the field, and when the corn started popping up sometime in June, the farmer went out there and wanted to eat some corn. And so what he did is he started going out there and pulling on the stalk, and all he did was uproot the stalk, and he just killed another ear of corn, and he kept going around, and he emptied his field that way because he wanted the corn so bad, but it wasn't the season for the corn. It wasn't the time for the corn, and so the farmer went without a harvest that year, because he destroyed it being too impatient, trying to make it happen. Come on, corn, why aren't you growing? Why aren't you getting bigger? Why aren't you getting ready? You know, and we can do that. You know, if you're a weightlifter and you go to a gym and you try to do too much at one time, you can hurt yourself and get into trouble. Actually, a few weeks ago, I did that. I went to the gym once 2 weeks ago, praise the Lord. And when I was there, you know, we were lifting. I had been there in a couple weeks prior to that, praise the Lord. And so when I was there, I was really giving it my all, and I was really resisting, amen. And I was pushing back. I was losing lots of weight, and you know, it's one of those things that at first it seemed real easy. You know, in the first couple reps or whatever, you think it's real easy, but then you get into it, and you've gone, you know, through all these different things, and you come back to that one, and you're like, well, maybe it's not so easy. I mean, maybe I should have lowered it. But being a guy, you know, you're never going to lower the weight. Praise the Lord. You got to always add to it. Praise the Lord. So. Because you can't be a wuss, you know, especially when the trainer comes up to you and says, you know, something like, do you think that you should put more on there? It looks kind of easy. Should you put more on there? And you're like, well, yeah, I guess I should, you know, but you know that you probably shouldn't. But, you know, I stressed something. I strained something when I did that. And so, you know, because I was trying to do more than I was capable of doing. You know, and God, the same way, God will give us an end goal. He'll give us something to look forward to. But we have to be right through the process of it. You know, I use this example so many times. But when my wife and I first got the call to pastor, it was still 2 years before we set out. God sent us out to pastor. Yeah. 2 years after I got the direction of God and I got it okayed by my pastor, and I went to him just about every few weeks. I'd go to him. Is it time now? Is it time now? Is it time now? For 2 years I did that, and it wasn't time. And I thank God that somebody was following God. Because in my eagerness, I'd have gone out 2 years too early, amen, and I was unripe corn at that time, you know what I mean? I was barely ripe when it came out, praise the Lord, and, you know, we're trying to get there still, amen, praise God, hallelujah. But we have to understand that waiting on God is a very important aspect of our faith walk. And that's why when we come in the church and we are in need of something, one of the best things that we can do is learn how to wait on the Lord. One of the best things that we can do is learn how to have patience for God to bring us. He will bring us through. He'll bring us out of every trial. But I'm going to tell you right now, God won't do it if it ain't building something in you. I'm just telling you the truth. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, he says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. Now, we know that rich means full supply. It's not just financial or money, but it means a full supply in all areas. Praise the Lord. You know, my wife and I have a rich marriage. We have had a rich marriage since the day we got married. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't, we haven't always had any kind of money. Praise the Lord. There's been many days where we didn't have anything. Amen. There's times we're like, oh, what's going on here? You know, but our marriage is rich. But see, God, he won't give us things. He won't open the door to us on things that aren't going to bless us. And so if we can get out of order, if we try to barge our way through that door, amen. And I'm not just talking about marriage. I'm talking about anything. Amen. And so it's very important that we follow God. And it's very in the Spirit of God, but we need to learn how to be patient people. I have seen over and over and over again in my almost 5 years, it's my almost five whole years of pastoring, praise the Lord. I have seen over and over and over people that come in a wreck and they want it changed right now. It took them years to get that screwed up. And yet they want God to change it overnight. And God wants to change it, rest assured he does. I'm just going to make you feel all better. We'll get to the end from the beginning, and we'll just say, God wants you blessed. He wants you helped. He wants you happy. He wants you settled. But he doesn't want it for you unless it can come in a way that will be lasting and will stay with you. Praise the Lord. He will not give you something that will hurt you. And so you come in and you just want something fixed, and he wants to walk you out of it. If it's something you did, he'll do it so you don't make that stupid mistake again. Amen? He'll let you learn. He'll let you. God's not opposed to letting you learn. Amen. Sometimes he'll let you be burnt by the stove. Yeah. So you know not to touch it again. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, glory to God. Well, today we're going to start in Psalm 27. Love the word. Amen. Psalm 27. I'm just so thankful for the word. You know, today I was meditating on a lot of things, and I didn't have a message when I woke up this morning. I thought I was going in a certain direction. I thought I was preaching on a certain subject. And as it turned out, it just wasn't coming together. And so that's always my direction, that wasn't of God. Amen. Or I'm not saying that wasn't of God, but it wasn't what God wanted me to get across now. Yeah. And so I always go to God when that happens to me, and I say the same thing. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to teach the people? What do you want me to give them tonight? And as I was meditating throughout the day, what I kept hearing in my spirit was about waiting on the Lord, waiting on God. Amen. And then this is the message that came about. So praise the Lord for it. Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. I love, King David, what he says here. He says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God, of the Lord, in the land of the living. I would have lost heart unless I believed that. See, a lot of people lose heart because they don't believe that. It's easy to lose heart when you don't believe that God is good, or is going to do good for you. When you don't believe that God's going to deliver, or you don't know. See, not knowing is just the same as not believing. I said, not knowing is just the same as not believing. If you don't know that God is good, then you don't believe God is good. I'm just going to tell you. If you don't know that God is going to come through for you, then you don't believe he will come through for you. How do I know that? Because faith, the Bible tells me what faith is, and faith is a matter of a fact. I said, it's a matter of a fact. If there is room in your heart for a possible God not coming through for you, you don't believe it. And you'll lose heart. Amen? I recently had this happen to me. You know, it's easy to get caught up in in life and what everything's going on and desires of the heart and all kinds of things. It's easy to get caught up. I'm just gonna, can I be completely honest with you? I recently had considered taking a second job. Praise the Lord. Got real quiet in here. Going out and taking a second job. Not because I wanted to do more. There was more things I wanted to do that I wasn't able to do just yet. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying it's because, you know, we're not making ends meet or anything. That's not what I'm saying. But I wanted to do more. See, my faith is on more. My faith, my desire is always to do more for the Lord, to do more for my family. I want to do more for my wife, praise the Lord. And if you're a man listening to this, or if you're a man, you should be wanting to do that. Well, thank God that we have, I have a pastor too, that I can submit things to, and he can tell me I'm stupid without telling me I'm stupid, amen? But he said to me, he's like, you know, he kind of looked at me cross-eyed a little bit when I asked him this. You know, I was saying, yeah, I could take these few days a week and I could... And he said, like, the smart thing, you would do better to just spend that time and get before the Lord and figure out what he wants you to do. Yeah. Amen. And I was like, oh, well, that's correction. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And he said, you know, of course, there's always opportunities. Like he said, if there's opportunity to make a lot of money and stuff, of course, God will, you know, he will let us do that. And that's not, you know, as long as it's not taking this and that away from us. But see, the direction of a pastor, I pastor two churches. Yeah. I pastor two churches. I don't need to be working a part-time job to be making things happen. You know, and when I say that, I'm not saying that the churches need to be supplying, because the churches aren't my supply. But the point that I'm trying to raise to you is that we can get caught up in us doing things, making things happen, when the time just isn't right for it. You know, God, his word works for me. He's increased my wife and I since we started, just year after year after year. Every year there's increase of some sort in our lives. Amen? But you remember, not everything is for today. Not everything. You know, when we started here, this building was here. It was for sale. God could have just as easily given us the money to do it then as he did 6 months later, or a year later, whatever. It was over a year later, right? 9 months, whatever. Well, you know, he could have just as easily given us the money then. You know, but see, the thing is that God wants us to build everything that we're supposed to, because he wants the foundation to be sure. You know, if you don't build a good foundation, it doesn't matter what you put on top of it, it's just going to crumble. And so God needs us to build the foundation right. And so there is a time of sowing. There's a time of where you're going to be. So there was years where my wife and I did nothing but sow our time, and we didn't seem like we increased it. But see, God was checking for us. Are we going to be faithful stewards? Are we going to be people who will continue doing it just because he said it? Yeah. Amen. This is what tithing is all about. Yeah. Will you continue to do it just because he said it, even when you don't see it right off the bat? Because immediately when you start giving, when you first give, the first thing that looks like is it looks like decrease. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen. There's lots of people, and we see lots of people. We saw lots of people around us prosper. We saw lots of people while we were bringing our money to God. We saw lots of people prosper by getting houses, by getting toys, by all these things. But see, God is true to his word, and he's going to prove faithfulness because he wants that foundation built. Amen. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, you can lose heart because you get your eyes set on something that isn't for today, that isn't for right now. And there's nothing wrong with looking for, we need to be future people, looking to the future and using that momentum to draw us and keep us going and stuff like that. But it can't be the thing that we're looking for. The Bible says, wait on the Lord, don't wait on stuff. Wait on the Lord, don't wait on that bill to be paid. Wait on the Lord. Yeah, amen. He said, wait on the Lord. Don't wait for healing. Wait on the Lord. Don't wait on prosperity. Wait on the Lord. Don't wait on that breakthrough. Wait on the Lord. Don't wait for a church of 10,000 people. Wait on the Lord. It doesn't matter. See, if you wait on God, if you put your focus in the right area, it doesn't matter what you're facing because the answer is always sure. But you would lose heart if you didn't believe that it was coming to pass. And see, what we do in these churches is we teach people primarily that it's coming to pass. Amen. If you do things right. Yeah. If you don't faint and lose heart. If you stay, but here's the thing. David could have fainted. He could have lost heart. But he believed in God. He trusted in God. He said, God will come through no matter what. Actually, as my wife was up here doing announcements and she looked up to the, faith comes by hearing. Praise the Lord. Faith comes by hearing. It sparks something in me. You know, I was like, what if we close this church down and we put the building on the market? We could do that, you know. We could go back to the hotel, maybe spend less money, put this building back on the market. What if we did that? And the next people walk through those doors and they look up there and they see that. Where was the faith of the congregation that closed that down? Do you know what I'm saying? Like that dawned on me. Not that we're not looking at closing the church. You understand what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is that people will they need things to look successful in the world's eyes in order for it to be something that is a success in their own heart. That's not waiting on God, and that's not believing on God. That's trusting in man. That's trusting in man's ability. Praise the Lord. That's doing things the world's way. It's not doing things God's way. We don't move by what we see. We are moved by the unseen. Amen? Right. Praise the Lord. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. I would have lost, you could say it this way, I would have lost heart unless I knew. Yeah. Unless I knew. Yeah. Kids, you need to know what you're doing. I'm talking to the young people in here. You need to know what your future is. Yeah. Know what it is. Go after it, but know what it is. Don't be confused. Right. Just refuse confusion. You know you can do that, right? I ain't going to be confused by this. You know, people run around when they want something. Where is it? 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 There's no belief in that. That's being unstable. That's being a double-minded person. You understand what we're doing here. We're trying to show you something. When we're waiting on God, it's waiting in faith on God. It's getting yourself. The first thing you need to do, if you're having those emotions, if you're having those feelings about needing something, the first thing you need to do is get before the Lord and say, Lord, I need to build this. I need to build this weight in me. I need to build this place of being okay and trusting in you, knowing that it's going to come to pass. You know, we've taught so many times, one of the hardest things, I would say the biggest tasks I've had as a pastor in these past 4.5 years, one of the biggest tasks I've had is just convincing people that God actually wants them to have good things. Yeah. When I'm saying good things, I mean a good life, a happy life, enjoyment. They want a spouse? He wants you to have a spouse. You want a nice car? He wants you to have a nice car. You want a house? He wants you to have a nice house. God doesn't want you doing, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. But see, what people do is they get so consumed with that stuff and they don't realize, because they don't have it, they just automatically assume that God doesn't want them to have it. But see, they haven't done the right things to get it yet. I would have lost heart unless I knew that God would do it. Amen? That I would see the goodness of God, of the Lord, in the land of the living. Where's the land of the living? We're in it. Praise the Lord. Anybody thankful for the land of the living? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We love the land of the living. Amen. It's good to be here. But you know how much of people's lives is consumed with seeking goodness? Do you know how much people's lives are just seeking things that may or may not happen in their mind? That's the way I lived my entire life. Every day I went to work and I worked a job that I hated. To come home to a house that I didn't love. And the whole time I'm spending all this time trying to figure out how I got to make a difference. What do I got to do? What do I got to do? What do I got to do? And the answer the whole time was on my shelf collecting dust. The answer the whole time was on the inside of me because I was born again. The answer the whole time, I wasn't taught. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I wasn't taught. I didn't know. And so I'm just running around spending life, not living life at all. I'm going to tell you, I spent the better part of my 20s not living. But dying constantly. Yeah. Constantly. Because no one ever taught me how to wait on the Lord. See, when people say, a lot of people say, oh, just wait on the Lord. What they're talking about is just wait till he brings it to pass. So you sit there impatiently. You're like a kid on Christmas Eve, sitting there going, when's it going to come? When's it going to come? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? Are we there yet, God? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? That's not waiting on the Lord. Waiting patiently on the Lord means that you're waiting for God to bring it to pass, knowing that that's just what he's going to do when the perfect and opportune time has come. Amen? That you will walk out the plan of God, that he has given us a plan, Jeremiah 29:11, he's given us a plan to ensure that we get there. He's given us the Holy Spirit to ensure that we get there. He gave us his son to ensure that we get there. He gave us a church to ensure that we get there. He gave us a pastor so we ensure that we get there. Praise the Lord. He gave us brothers and sisters in Christ to ensure that we get there. Praise the Lord. He gave us all the parts of the body. He made us all one body to ensure that if you were a little lame today, praise the Lord, that the rest of the body could carry you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then when the rest of the body's a little bit lame, then you can carry up. But God gave us, he put us together, made us a unit so we didn't have to depend on ourselves. Amen. So we didn't have to figure it out ourselves. Praise the Lord. You notice he didn't make any of us the head. I love that about God. He didn't make any of us the head. God made Jesus the head. Why did he make Jesus the head? Because Jesus knows more than we do. Jesus did it better than we did. And if Jesus is the head and he's controlling the body, praise the Lord, then the body's going to go in the right direction. But what would happen if all of a sudden my legs just started to walk out the door? It'd be kind of funny, wouldn't it? If my legs just took off and ran out the door. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't be standing here in faith. I'd be laying here in faith. And then as I was trying to pull myself back up so I could finish preaching the message, my hands took off, one that way and one that way. Amen? What would you do? Well, it would be crazy, wouldn't it? But that's what the body of Christ is doing. They ain't following God. They ain't waiting patiently on God. They're like, let me make it happen. Let's make it happen. No, let's wait on the Lord. Amen? You ain't letting me get very far, very fast. Praise the Lord. That's only one verse. That I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's a promise. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. When was the last time you told the devil that? Come on now. When was the last time that devil started knocking on your door, giving you them thoughts? Oh, it ain't never going to happen. I'm never going to get there. When was the last time you said, devil? I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I don't care what you throw at me. I don't care what the jack wagon next to me did. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I don't care what the rest of everybody else is. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care where my church goes. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. I do care where it goes, but you know what I'm saying by that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And guess what? There's a lot of people that are going there with me. Praise the Lord. Why? Because there's a lot of people that just happen to believe God too. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you are them. Amen. Because you're sitting here tonight. You came here tonight because you're like, I got to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. And lo and behold, you came in here and there stood Pastor Jeff. Praise the Lord. The goodness. I'm just going to get me a t-shirt or a tattoo or something that says the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. I'm telling you the truth. We got to look at ourselves. I am the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. That means I'm the fullness of God. I got all I need. Praise the Lord. I didn't do it to myself. I didn't do it by my own ability. But Jesus came and he did what he did and I accepted that. Praise the Lord. And because I accepted that, no, you see, you accepted some things. And because you accepted them, that's why you're in the situation you're in. Well, I accepted the Lord and that's why I'm in the situation I'm in. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, what situation are you in? In the goodness of the Lord and the land of living. That's the situation I'm in. I'm in a situation called goodness, amen? Praise the Lord. And you can be in a situation called goodness too, and you ain't even got to put on my suit. You can wear your own suit. You can wear your own pants, your own sweatshirt, whatever you want to wear. But if you're following God, you are in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, amen? That's what we need to start believing. See, I would have lost heart unless I believed that. I did lose heart because I stopped believing that. Because I got sidetracked from believing that. And that's why we need reset sometimes. That's why we need each other. Amen? Because sometimes I got to remind you. Maybe sometimes you got to remind me. But at any rate, we got to remind each other that we are in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We're in it. I said, we ain't waiting for it. We're in it. Amen? So all that entails, amen? Praise the Lord. Like back to the corn. When you plant a corn, all the goodness that's in that corn is in one seed, ain't it? But that one seed won't satisfy you. But it's there, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I said it's there. All the goodness that's in that stalk, all those, I'm talking about corn. We were talking about corn on the way down. I didn't get much sweet corn yet this year. Praise the Lord. Just because I got distracted by other things. I got distracted from the goodness. Amen. But I'm about to get back on track and looking at it. But you know, the goodness is all in that seed, but it won't satisfy. That one seed won't satisfy. But dear Lord, you plant that seed, you wait just a little bit, you wait on the Lord knowing that he, you know, people don't plant, see, that's why I love it. People are surprised when they plant something and don't come up. Aren't you surprised? You know, I don't know what happened, but it didn't come up. You know what I mean? But most gardeners, they're not out there just like, I love this impression. Most gardeners don't, you know, Rachel back there, her grandpa is a major gardener. He's got major gardens, like probably prize-winning, award-winning gardens, like big fence of men, all kinds of stuff. You know, they could supply half of Frewsburg probably with all the stuff out of their gardens. Praise the Lord. I don't know if he still does it, doesn't he? Yeah, praise the Lord. But, you know, he doesn't do that every year and surprise that he gets a harvest. No, he goes out there knowing he's going to get a harvest. But he also doesn't go out there in June expecting that garden's going to be fully producing. Some things may have produced some things, but not everything. And he knows that he's going to wait for some of it, right? And he goes out there happily and does it every single year. He toils and labors until because he knows. See, that's what we need to do. We need to do the work of the Lord, expecting that the harvest is going to be there, waiting, knowing that it's going to be there. I said it's going to happen, amen? The Word said it, so it must apply to me because it's good, and I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. In fact, I'm living in it, amen? Well, praise God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 14. That was verse 13, amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It is not saying wait on the Lord in the expectation he won't do it. Wait in faith on the Lord. Stay in the faith. We have to stir faith up. Faith is not automatic. It is not something our flesh wants to do. It is not something that your neighbor wants you to do. It is not something what Sister Bucketmouth wants you to do or brother better than you. They are not stirring you up. You got to stir yourself up in faith. You understand what I'm saying? We got to keep ourselves in faith. It will come to pass. Amen. We have to listen. I know there is nothing sometimes that will tell you other than this. I'm just telling you the truth, or me. There's nothing. Sometimes you'll look at something. You'll look at it and there's nothing there. There isn't even a seed there. There's nothing. There's no soil. There's nothing. But see, you believe what the Word says. You believe what the Word says. You know that it's coming to pass. See, that's what we have to do. We have to get ourselves at that place. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Good courage. You know, standing there saying, yes, we're going to get through this. We have to believe this. Husbands and wives, that's what we're supposed to do with each other. We're getting through this. We're going to the other side. Amen? Praise the Lord. We will go to the other side. Amen? And if somebody along the way drops off, and this will happen, you know, people drop off and they just won't go to the other side. Then you change the we will go to the other side to I'll go to the other side. But I'm getting there nonetheless. Amen? We have to know that we are going, because as long as we are faithful before God, listen, we all stand before Jesus. So back to husbands and wives, it doesn't matter if you're married or not. You will stand before Jesus on your own. Your spouse will not be there and you can't blame it on them. Remember, that's what Adam tried to do. He tried to say, hey, God, the woman you gave me, you know, no. But Adam was responsible for what he did. Yeah. Amen. Adam could have still gone to the other side. He didn't have to eat that. But he didn't listen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to the other side because we choose to. Amen. Praise the Lord. A lot of people are waiting, but they're waiting for the wrong thing. They're waiting for the wrong things. They're waiting for stuff. They're not waiting on the Lord. The Bible clearly says, wait on the Lord. In fact, I have not found, and I've only been doing this a short time, I understand, but I still have not found in the Word where the Bible ever tells us to wait on something other than God. Never. Praise the Lord. I said never. I want to look somewhere real quick. I think it's in Philippians. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just bear with me here for a minute. Philippians 4. Yeah. Philippians 4, 6. What did Paul say here to the Philippian church? He said, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. What's included? You know what? You realize that when you are waiting, everybody look at me so you can see the quotes. When you're waiting for something to happen, you know, you're waiting for it to happen because it hasn't happened yet and you really want it to happen and it hasn't happened yet. When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Praise the Lord. We got a dog like that. You know, we have this little, we recently came into the dog ownership realm, praise the Lord. And she's this little dog. She's 4 years old already, but it's been a quick 4 years. But she's 4 years old already. She's this little dog, but she has a little bit of separation anxiety. If she knows that you're leaving, she starts getting a real jittery, you know what I mean? Starts kind of running around. She's kind of cute, so a lot of times we try to take her with me, but sometimes we know we can't. And so we put her in a room, we give her a whole room to be by herself, but she didn't like being by herself, but she's waiting. And when we come home, she's, ruff, 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 ruff. It's a lot lighter than that, but she's yapping, you know, she's just waiting. You open the door, and I've been trying to, I watch YouTube videos on how to separate, to get them from, yeah, to get them from stop being anxious, amen? And what you do, one of the videos says, one thing you have to do is you got to leave and come like it's no big deal. So you got to show them that when you leave, it's no big deal, and when you come back, it's no big deal. Because you're there. See, what they said, one of the biggest causes of separation anxiety in the dog is them feeling like they don't know if you're ever going to come back. And since we can't communicate, you know, I don't speak dog and they don't speak Jeff, praise the Lord. And so we don't communicate very well. You know what I mean? So, and I talk to her all the time, knowing she doesn't know that what the heck I'm saying. But there's that, you know, that feeling. But that's the way a lot of Christians are. See, a lot of Christians, they don't really know whether God's ever going to come through for them. And so they're yipping around, they're running around like anxious, praise the Lord. And that's not what God intended them to do. He said, wait on the Lord. See, if that dog understood my character, she would understand why I need her to wait there and that I would be back in just a short amount of time and everything would be fine. Yep. Amen? You know, my kids don't do that. They don't. When we leave the house, my kids aren't like, you know, oh my gosh, mom and dad are leaving. What are we going to do with ourselves? Yeah, okay, bye. Sometimes, if we get that, they generally say bye, but sometimes they don't say bye. Sometimes they're busy doing other things, you know. But you know what I'm saying? Like my kid, because they have an understanding. We should know our Heavenly Father in the same way. You know what I'm saying? We should know Him to say, wait a minute, He ain't leaving us. The Bible tells us, in case we didn't get it, okay, in case we didn't know, Jesus said, I have never left you nor forsaken you. I've never done it. I haven't done it yet, and I won't do it in the future. Amen. And then He tells us many times throughout Scripture, He says, I am the same yesterday and today and forever. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, I am God, I do not change. He has never left us nor forsaken us. Amen. When's He going to start? Never. And so we need to understand that when something means something to us, it means something to God. But God will bring it in its right time. Amen? I said He'll bring it in the right time. And sometimes He'll take us through a process to show us that what we thought we needed or wanted really wasn't what we thought we needed or wanted anyways. He will show us that it was something else. You know, we've had that so many opportunities in life to do that. Is that clock right? Are you kidding me? Dear Lord, well, you can know where we're not going to get tonight. And that's all the way through this message. Praise God. But I believe this is helping some people here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. A lot of people are waiting, but they're waiting on the wrong things. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Do I want to go? Yeah, let's go down here. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Praise God. I love the word. Amen. You know, I'll be honest with you. This is one of those messages that beforehand I didn't have a lot of necessarily inspiration. I didn't come into the pulpit thinking I was like, I almost turned to my wife and said, you got something tonight? Because I'll let you preach. Honest to God, that's where I was at. Because I didn't think I'd be able to have enough to even fill a... And now I can't even get through the scripture. See, the Lord shows up and does things. Amen. Despite who we are. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That amazes me every time. Isaiah 40, verse 27. Amen. Did you find it? Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? In other words, why do you say this, God's people? Okay. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Why do you say that? You know, and basically, let me interpret this a little bit for you. Basically, it's saying, why are you saying that God isn't recognizing what your plight is? Why are you saying that God isn't seeing what you want? Why are you saying that God doesn't care about what you're desiring or what you need? Not even what you desire, but what you need. See, a lot of people, you'd be hard pressed to get them to believe that God wants you to have what you desire, much less what you need. Most people are stuck in that. He won't even give me what I need. I'm not even going to go to desires. Desire. You know, this is why people run to the world. This is why people get trapped into sin and stuff like that, because they don't believe that God's ever going to come through for them. That's why they do that, because they think they got to supply it themselves. See, so many people do this. They make things happen because they think that they needed to. And when they do that, they get themselves in a heap of trouble. God wanted you to have it. If you follow him, he'll show you. So why do you say, my way is hidden from the Lord and my just claim is passed over by my God? My just claim. Lord, you know that I didn't do wrong here. You knew that they were doing wrong. I'm justified in what I'm saying. I'm justified in what I did, and yet they still fired me. Or they still came against me. You know, and they look to God like it's his fault. I love verse 28. What does it say? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Have you not known? Have you not heard? If you knew that, you wouldn't say those things. If you had never heard that and believed it, you wouldn't say those things. You would wait on the Lord because you know, amen. Oh, glory to God. I'm building something here, amen? Glory to God. Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God? You know, this is written in kind of a way that's like, come on now. Now look at this. The everlasting God. You know the everlasting God, the one that never runs out? The Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Like God made, let's just have a talk here for a minute. Do you realize what God did, right, in creation? He made everything. Everything, right? What is it you need? Is it something? Well, guess what? God made everything. If God made everything, then the something you need is no big deal for him. I said it's no big deal for him. Whatever the something is, no matter how big the something is, you think this something is the hugest something in the entire world, but God made it already. He made it already, and the way we know that he made it already is because you wouldn't even know you needed it unless it was created. And God created it just to show. In fact, God created things you didn't even know you need. Do you know how many years people didn't know what kind of things that they need? Yeah, they didn't know what kind of stuff they needed to put in their bodies. They ate food and hoped that it worked, amen? But now we know today, we know that food does things, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord. There was a time when bacon grease was thought to be good because it tasted good. We find out that bacon grease is not, you can't cook everything in bacon grease, praise the Lord, and be healthy. But we know that now. They didn't know that back then, praise the Lord. So they'll get, but see, well, praise the Lord. But we know that there's vitamins and nutrients that we need in things and that we'll get them if we do right. But God knew we needed it all along. Praise God, hallelujah. I love our God, amen. He gives power to the weak. Well, praise the Lord, because I fall into that category often. I'm talking my own accord. You understand what I mean? Praise the Lord, my own accord. I'm talking about without God, right? I'm not calling myself weak. We don't need to dwell on, oh, I'm so weak. I'm so faint. I'm so weary. That's not what I'm talking about. Amen? But he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Praise God. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Glory to God. You know, this word wait, it means to wait expectantly. It means to wait knowingly. It's like you wait, like you're waiting. It's like you're on the sideline or something of the game, the big game, and you're off there on the side, and you're waiting for the coach to call you in to play. And you know that when it's your time to get called in, you know you're going to go out there and do it. Otherwise, they wouldn't call on you, right? So if you're someone who gets called on, you know you're sitting there waiting for the time. Amen. You're waiting the horses if you ever seen a horse race, and they put those horses at the gates, and they're waiting to take off. They're going to go. And they're going to run as fast as they can. And it's, you know, people, they invest in these kind of things because they know this is what we're supposed to do. That's what waiting is. Amen. Waiting is ready to take off and win the stinking race. Amen. You know, but a lot of people are waiting like, oh, I don't know. What if the horse came out of the gate? What would you do if the horse came out of the gate? You're watching a horse race. I don't watch many of them. Actually, I've never watched one. I've seen clips of them. But you're watching a horse race. And all of a sudden the gates open and the horse just like stood there. It was like, ate some grass and be like, I never get the trophy. Yeah, that's what people are dumb horses. They're sitting around waiting for God to do things. He said just wait, they're waiting for things to happen, but they're not truly waiting on God, amen? Praise the Lord. I said glory to God. Hallelujah. God wants us helped. He wants us to get there. He wants us to go to the other side. Praise God. Hallelujah. He wants me to finish this message. Praise the Lord. I know he does. Amen. But you know, this is what I love about the message is I have never preached a message yet, or not very often, where I get to every scripture in the allotted time. When I say the allotted time, the time I try to keep myself to. Amen. I try to keep myself to around an hour. I never seem to get there. But that's just God showing his abundance. There's always enough to go. Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews 6, verse 9. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6, 9. We're going to read all the way through verse 12. But beloved, I'll wait because there's a few pages still turning. Glory to God. I want you to get there. Go with me. Amen. Hebrews 6, 9 through verse 12. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. We are confident. I'm confident of better things concerning you. Do you know that? Do you know if I wasn't, I wouldn't show up.
Right. That's right.
If I was like, if there isn't better things concerning you, then I wouldn't show up. I would not be in Corey tonight preaching.
Right.
I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have come a year and a half ago.
Right?
Right? You're doing the math in your head. I could see. Hallelujah. Am I right in that somewhere around? About a year and a half. Yeah, about a year and a half ago, I wouldn't have started coming.
Yeah.
Why? Why did I come? Because we're confident of better things concerning you. Amen? Confident of better things. We're confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner. Now, I want to talk to everybody who's here. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody here before they came to Family Church that knew they were saved? Just go ahead and raise your hand. Before you came to Family Church, you knew that you were saved. Everybody, yeah. Is there anybody that knew that you had Jesus, right? Keep your hands up so I can see, because I wasn't looking. Okay, praise the Lord. So we got a few people here that knew that they were saved before they came to Family Church Corey or Family Church Mayville, right? That's pretty exciting. But did you know there's better things concerning you, things that accompany salvation? Did you know that when you came in? Some of you didn't. Some of you may have known some, but not all. Praise the Lord. I know not all because I don't know all God's got for me still. There are things that accompany salvation, amen, though we speak in this manner. For God is not just to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name. So if that applies to you, then it applies to you, amen. If you've worked, if you've given, if you've worked towards God, if you've sought God, praise the Lord, he is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. That's waiting on the Lord. That's what waiting on the Lord is. That you continue in what is right, you continue what you know you need to do with full assurance of hope until the end. Full assurance, that word hope in the Bible, generally when we see that word hope, it means expectation. So you have full assurance of expectation until the end. You don't lose your expectation. If you've lost your expectation, you need a little stirring, and you need to start stirring. You need to stir yourself according to the word, amen? That you do not become sluggish. Oh, this is the bane of Christianity, is sluggishness. People get sluggish. After a little bit of time, you come in and you've been faithful for a while, and you start to get sluggish. Oh, we've heard this message before. We've heard this scripture before. We've seen this move of the Holy Ghost before. I've had hands laid on me before. All this stuff, we can get sluggish. We'd say, oh, it's not working anymore, and we fall right into that trap of it not working. I see people like that all the time. People once in the faith camp, and now they're not. Now they're not serving God. Now they're not doing anything. They become sluggish. They got sluggish in their belief. They got sluggish in their faith. They got sluggish in their walk. But what does it say? But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Who inherits the promises? Those with faith and patience. Faith is expectation. Praise the Lord. It's assurance in you that it's going to come to pass. Faith is waiting on the Lord. That's what it is. Waiting on the Lord is faith. Truly, and that's what the Bible talks about. You have to keep the Bible says to fight the good fight of faith. Keep yourself in expectation while you wait for God to bring it to come to pass. Right. It doesn't matter when it happens. It doesn't matter when it's set for, because you're happy knowing that it's just happened. Yeah. Yeah. Don't spend all this time wondering about what's going to happen. Yeah. See, when you're wondering, you've entered into that realm of being anxious. Yeah. You're like the puppy waiting for the people to come home. You're just being anxious. You're not going to really receive anything from that. All you're going to do is cause yourself a bunch of worry. It's coming to pass. Amen. When was the last time that came out of your mouth? It's coming to pass. All the Lord has said to me, it will surely come to be. It shall come to pass. Why do we sing that song? We ever sing that song here? We sing that song here? Why do we sing that song? Because we want to try to build in you. It shall come to pass. Amen? Glory to God. Why? Because it comes to pass. Faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. There's only one way we inherit them, through faith and patience. Glory to God. Isn't that what the Bible says? It says inherit. We got great and precious promises, the Bible says. Lots of them. Okay, we're going to close here. Go to Psalm. I can't believe it's time to close. It feels like it's been like seriously 10 minutes to me. Psalm 37. You all probably like, oh, man. Listen. Praise the Lord. But seriously, I mean, man, you wouldn't have got, I don't even know what shows are on Saturday night, but you certainly wouldn't have got that at home. Watching, we'll just believe the best of you, watching VeggieTales. Praise the Lord. Psalm 37. It's one of my favorite sets of scriptures. Lord was dealing with me on this today for my own life. And so I just thought it was so good I'd share it with you. Amen. Amen? Psalm 37. Verse 3, my daughter and I have been, this is one of the scriptures that we've been, every morning we learn scriptures. So we take scriptures every morning, we just get them in us. We just pick scripture, you know what I mean? And then we start, and then we say them all the ones we've learned. We're specifically the ones we repeat every morning. We're up to like maybe six now or something like that. Six sets of scriptures, amen? It's good to do it because that's how you build that waiting in you, amen? Praise the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord. Wait patiently on God. It's the same thing. Why would you have to trust in the Lord? Listen, if you don't need to trust in something that you already got. Right. You know what I mean? If you already have the answer, you don't need to trust God to bring it. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You don't sit around worrying if the pizza delivery guy is going to come after he's already come. Right. You know that he got there and he made it, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know that it's there. You don't question that. You don't sit there eating your pizza in anxiousness and worry. This trusting the Lord is the same thing. It's waiting patiently on God. Amen. It's waiting for God. It's just saying, listen, I know it's going to come back. Trust in the Lord and do good. Why do we do good? Because we trust in God. Amen. Because we wait for Him. Amen. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. So when you're in the land, you're dwelling in the land, doesn't matter what land you're in, you're feeding on His faithfulness. What's his faithfulness? It's trusting God. See, all these things are connected. It's just trusting God. It's saying, Lord, I know that you're going to do it, so I'm just going to live here. I'm going to go about my business. I'm going to let God bless me, praise the Lord, and I'm going to grow, and I'm going to be better next year than I was this year. The year after that, it's going to be even better. That's why getting old is a good thing when you're a Christian. That's why, honestly, if you hear Christians complaining about getting old, they're stupid. Be thankful you're getting older, because if you're getting older, it means God's still got room to bless you. Amen? Don't you know that? If you're going, oh, it's a time. We got to get rid of that clock just so I don't look at it all the time. Praise the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's pretty cut and dry, man. Oh, hallelujah. Delight yourself also in him, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. There we see that again. And he shall bring it to pass. Are you going to bring it to pass by worrying? Jesus said, no, you can't add one cubit to your stature. I don't know what that means, but it makes me bigger somehow, right? I can't add any cubits anywhere by worrying. No cubits are going anywhere. I'm just telling you, no cubits, no cuberts, nothing. Praise God. There's a few people that might, most of you are like, what the heck is cubert? Does anyone remember cubert? Yeah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Tammy, you're my favorite for this evening. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Cubert, it was a video game in the 80s. With the guy had a big horn nose, you know, and he hopped on the thing. Yeah. I don't know if I even ever played it, but I remember it. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord. And there we see that. That's what it's all about. Sometimes you just got to waiting patiently for God. It's just sitting, he's going to take care of it. See, when you can't rest, it's because you're anxious. And if you're anxious, you need to get back into these scriptures. And you need to say, wait a minute, I need to wait on the Lord. I need to stay in faith. Because God is going to, I would have fainted unless I believed that I would have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. Don't faint. Stick with it. Stay with it. Say, Lord, we're going through, and I'm going to get excited about it. You'll stir yourself, and I guarantee you that your attitude's going to change, and you'll see things happen more quickly in your life. Amen.